And then, you know, this is a treat here, actually, because, you know, Will is kind of a legend around here, since it turns out he's from around here, which I didn't know. Will Durst is actually from Waukesha, you say, right? Okay. He's joining us. He's here with, there's a thing going on now in town called the Fighting Bob La Follette thing. Fighting Bob La Follette thing. It's called something else. And it's at, I think, Sauk Fairgrounds today. Or Sauk, yeah, Sauk City. Sauk County, whatever it is. Baraboo. Exactly. Would you welcome, please, Will Durst on our very stage here, ladies and gentlemen. Fighting Will Durst is joining us now. Hello. Nice to meet you. Hey, you didn't remember meeting me, huh? I thought it would be kind of...
I remember meeting you. You're Michael Feldman, for crumb's sake.
You didn't remember.
Yeah, it was backstage at Progressive Magazine's 100th anniversary.
Redford, you remembered. You met Redford,
well, yeah.
You remembered.
Yeah. Yeah, he's short. He's like that.
Yeah.
Tall.
How's this Fighting Bob thing going now? Pretty good?
Well, I have to fight him later today.
Yeah.
No. Because I would be moving down in a weight class, so it wouldn't be fair.
Did you ever box in school there in Waukesha?
No, I was not an athlete.
No. Nothing?
Look at me. I'm me and Steve were the dorks of Waukesha.
Yeah. Chess club or Latin club or anything?
Drama.
Okay.
Drama, darling.
Yeah. So, and Bob La Follette, the progressive movement, of course, which started with La Follette, and a lot of people don't realize that he was a progressive Republican. They were Republicans.
Back then, Republicans were different. Does the term Lincoln have any meaning here?
Yeah, so that's kind of a cool thing. And this thing is every year, right, where they do...
Yeah, this is the 13th annual, and it's for progressives by progressives. And, you know, a progressive is a term that... It's weird because I'm from Wisconsin. I'm from outside of Milwaukee, Waukesha, which is, you know, a little to the right of Pol Pot. So, and I live in San Francisco now, so I got... Both sides. I come back to Wisconsin, I'm a commie pinko yellow rat, you know.
Yeah.
And in San Francisco, I'm a Nazi. So.
Yeah. Well, that's nice for you. To have both. Most people don't have both.
No, they don't.
That's a good thing. But it's a tribute to you also because, I mean, you don't pull your punches in either direction, right?
I do try to hit both sides.
Yeah, a good right and your undercut.
And my left is not that strong. No. No, because I agree with Obama on a lot of stuff, you know, because, I'm a social liberal and an economic, you know, that whole thing, if I hear that one more time. But no matter what you think of Obama's policies, you got to admire his ability not to get involved in them.
Yeah. That's true. Very good. Now, let me ask you this, and this will probably screw everything up for just a minute, talking about it. But don't you find, now I've been doing this for a while too, and you've been doing this for even probably a longer while, there are periods in history where all the news seems to be not only bad, but terrible and horrible, and so it's hard to be topical
at
certain periods of history.
Right now is real tough. Yeah. You got Gaza, you got Putin, you got the Ukraine, you got Ebola. Ebola! They're letting people back into the country with Ebola!
Yeah, yeah.
That can't be good.
Yeah. So that's amusing, but I mean, a lot of the stuff is not so funny.
Well...
Ebola jokes.
You know what happened? It was in 2012, I wrote this little... I can't do comedy clubs anymore because the average age of a comedy club is like 18 to 35.
Yeah.
You know, and then I come on stage, and why is this bitter old man lecturing me?
Yeah,
you know,
making references that no one gets. Yeah. I mean, I
decided to try to move to theaters because, I mean, look at, I mean, you know, that's my target demographic out there.
Yeah.
People who read or
people
know
you
someone
went to school with. Yeah,
the guys I went to school with. And so I've been doing theaters, and I did a show off Broadway during the end of the Bush administration, but then that material evaporated. Yeah. So I wrote a new show for 2012, and it started out like 75 minutes on Super Tuesday, and by election night I had 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because you remember 2012. I mean, you know, you had.
I think I remember the performance, actually. And it was riveting.
All those.
I felt like I was riveted when I saw
those. You had Romney and Palin and everybody led the polls.
Funny stuff.
Herman Cain led the polls.
Yeah.
Michelle Bachmann led the polls. Yeah. You know.
Good times.
Rick Perry, until he got into the race.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then on
November, now he's back, but he's not as funny this time.
No, he's got glasses now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not hip glasses like you. You know, he's got the dark frames, the serious glasses.
Yeah. It's what Superman wears in his off time. I think that was the idea behind those. And looking back, you know, the Clinton years were a gift.
Well,
you know, what a gift. You didn't have to write anything. You could say, you know.
Bush. Anything. Bush was the gift. Because Clinton, everything was below the belt, especially the last.
But that's a gift.
The last 2 years. No, you would say you're a political comic, and people go, Monica, huh? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's true. That. That's true.
But Bush, I was carrying these 3x5 cards with me, and at the end of the second of Bush administration, I had both sides of a card full of verbatim quotes
from him,
from Bush. I didn't alter a syllable. One was, I think we can all agree the past is over. Yeah, okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
When in Rome, do as the Romanians do. Yes, he did.
But have you noticed that since then his now he's very popular. He hit a low point there towards the end, but now
that happens with every ex-president.
He's been renewed. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Except I'm hoping Jeb gets it. Because can you imagine if it were Hillary versus Jeb Bush? It would be Clinton Bush. I could just resurrect all my 1992 material.
But Jeb is she's kind of a stray in the family, isn't it? I mean,
he was supposed to be the smart one. No, that's what they kept saying.
How hard is that? Really?
But if he won,
that
would make the last five presidents Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Bush.
Yeah.
So like a club sandwich. Yeah. With the Bushes as the white bread.
Yeah.
And what could be more apropos than that?
Exactly. And I know a lot of the stuff that you talk about that's not political is about the generational thing now. Because I think you and I are both on the cutting edge of the baby boomer thing.
You mean the leading edge?
Yeah, no longer cutting. We shouldn't use sharp objects, I think, at this point.
No, the
baby boomers have pretty much gone boom.
They give you that round scissors now. The round edge scissors. Yeah, I'm doing a show about being a baby boomer. It's called Boomeraging from LSD to OMG. And it's what happens when acid flashbacks meet dementia.
So what does happen when that?
I hear that a lot. Yeah, it's a celebration of the maturation of the boomer nation, and of course we have the Gen Xers leave the room right now. I've had it. Yeah.
She's going to Mars. She's the girl going to Mars.
Okay.
She'd rather go to Mars than hear this.
Oh, Marcia, who was at the table, she was the one who told me I couldn't bring my coffee in. She said when you had the two guys up here earlier that the guy threatened to expose the Limburger that only in Wisconsin where you'd have cheese terrorists.
Yeah. Limburger, LED.
I know.
That's where the LED stands for Limburger in Wisconsin. Yeah. So, okay, anyhow. What about our generation?
Well, we were a little self-reverential.
Oh.
Yeah. But my theory is a lot of reasons why. Our parents' generation, the greatest generation, they went through a world war, and before that, a depression. Mm-hmm. When they got back in the 40s from the war, they were still rationing. It wasn't until the 50s that, you know, that things eased up, and then it was the Cold War, and they went, Cold War, imminent nuclear annihilation, yeah, whatever, because they had gone through all that, but we simmered in that marinade of no tomorrow, you know what I mean, and I think that has a lot to do with...
Duck and cover, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you remember Duck and Cover?
Put your park over your head, and you'll be fine. Lean against the wall, put your parka right ahead. Nuclear war, you're fine.
In case of nuclear attack, crawl under a desk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't, yeah. So I think that had a lot to do with why we were the drug generation. And we're
that
still...
and the drugs, I think.
Well, you're right, because yes. drugs were available.
Yeah.
And we're still doing drugs, only now there's a copay.
And now we can get the good stuff. I mean, this thing about prescription marijuana in states that allow it, I mean, it's something we've earned, I think. You know?
Wisconsin? What do you think?
No, it's not going to happen here.
You know? Don't think?
No. Behind the barn, whatever grows there, grows there.
Well, in San Francisco, because I was a smoker, and I'm down to 3 or 4 cigarettes a day. Yeah. But mostly because I live in San Francisco. Is that a cigarette? No, it's a joint. Well, it better be. I mean, that's what it's like in San Francisco.
So you're not vaping? You've gotten to vaping?
No, but I smoke these English Ovals, and they're not filtered.
The worst kind ever, right?
Well, I'm down to 4 a day, I figure, yeah. If I'm going to get my nicotine.
I mean, that's what happened to the Empire, isn't it? English Ovals.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know? Well, they came here and discovered the tobacco and then took it straight after that, you know?
Walter Raleigh, right?
Walter Raleigh, yeah. Such a stupid get, as John Lennon was. it's unfortunate, I think, that we were... That's why this thing, they call them millennials now, you know, which is weird. It's a weird name to be called.
83 through 2002.
Yeah, millennial. I mean,
well,
they
were Gen Y for a while, remember?
Yeah,
after Gen X, and they demanded their own name.
Yeah.
Which you got to give them that.
Millennials, because you never know how many L's and how many N's, for one thing. You know.
Michael Feldman, would go after it on a grammatical basis.
Well, I mean that, and they should call them the awesomes. You know, this is the awesome generation, because they're always saying, everything's awesome. And they're always being ironic about it. You know, nothing really is awesome, but they always say, oh, it's awesome. You
know, I know, right?
They don't mean it at all. I know, right? They say
I
that,
know,
too.
I know, right?
Yeah, I know, right? So, they always say, think about it. So, I mean, and then they tell you what they don't mean, you know. I got two of them, you know, so I see it firsthand. I don't get them at all, and they're very interesting, and I love them. However...
And they haven't really formed an opinion about the baby boomers yet, but
yeah.
As soon as they pay off their college loans and move out of the house, they're going to get right on it.
Yeah. See, I just think it was unfortunate that we were called the baby boomers, because I never really cared for that term.
Did you have another name? Do you have a...
No, I don't call us anything. You know, I don't call me, I'll call you.
Ray Johnson.
Yeah, but baby boomers, you know, and then especially when you're, you know, the 60 generation in their 60s,
yeah,
it's a little embarrassing.
The white snake tattoo on grandma. Yeah.
And those don't wrinkle well at all. Oh, those white snake tattoos.
Yeah, no tattoos for me, you know, because... And you should caution the kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a big thing, though. And the kids, you got to understand that tastes change. Not just taste, the canvas does
as well. The canvas, yeah, it does.
That cute little butterfly is going to turn into a pterodactyl.
Depending upon where it is, that could be a problem for you. But in the nursing home, much amusement in the nursing home. Yeah, so a generation. And then we always had the thing, the feeling that the dawning of the age of Aquarius,
it's
still waiting for it. You know?
Jupiter was aligned with Mars, man.
What was that supposed to be? You know, and I remember sort of believing that something big was going to happen.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, yeah. The astrologers, you know, they used that. There was so much that was going to happen to us. And we were fighting the man.
Yeah.
And now we are the man.
Yeah. You know, eat the rich. So, like, eat yourself. You know, eat the rich was, they said, you know, how far should you go to defend your, you know, whatever, what you believe in? Eat the rich. So now, if you're rich, eat myself? I don't think so. I can't eat rich now. That's exactly what I can't have.
You know, so. Muesli.
Yeah.
The Muesli generation.
Kill your parents? That was a nice thought, too.
There are good things about being, you know, a baby boomer.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff that we can pass on to the kids. I mean, we may not be able to dodge trouble as fast as what once could, but we can recognize its approach from farther away.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when in hostage situations, chances are we'll be among the first released.
Get him out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
He needs his medication.
You know, there's good things about getting old.
Yeah. And politically, I don't know, politics of the day, what do you make of all that's going on, the Tea Party and all that sort of thing? That's a little, that bemuses one.
Yeah.
Not used to it.
We were talking last night about how the Tea Party is kind of like, I think it's the mailing list from the old Ross Perot's Reform Party. You know, I really do. I think it's the same people running it, and the Koch brothers, of course, you know, running everything. No, that's how they want it pronounced. It rhymes with sock. Yeah, so they're, you know, here they have their guy, your governor guy.
Oh yeah, him. Yeah. Governor Walker.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Governor President Walker is what they call
him. And, of course, Paul Ryan. They kept calling Paul Ryan a bold choice when Romney picked him. Bold choice, you know. Yeah, but bold, not always synonymous with good. Whiskey for breakfast is a bold choice. And him replacing Medicare with vouchers, you know, coupons, healthcare coupons, because old people love coupons. I got a coupon. Only four more, we could book the anesthesiologist. Making Sarah laugh, so that's... Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I know.
That's a good sign right there.
That's my goal.
And then, I don't know, but the Obama thing is not so funny anymore. It's hard to get a laugh out of an Obama joke, I bet. Is it?
You know, he's a black guy in a white guy's world. You know, so he had to develop this veneer, and he was always a facilitator, you know, I mean, and he's so smooth, he's like a sparrow slaloming through a chain link fence, nothing but net, you know, there's no scandal, and they've been trying to find a scandal, I mean, at McCain and Hillary, I imagine, and even Romney, they couldn't find a scandal. Clinton was a corpulent womanizer, and Bush had the DUIs and the DTs and the STDs and the ADHD. And Obama's like chamois on chrome, man.
Yeah. Can a sparrow really actually slalom through it? I'm stuck on that image. Through a chain link fence.
Nothing but net.
I'd love to see it.
I think that he's stuck, you know, because he always brought people together when he was in the legislature in Illinois, and when he was in the Senate, that was his gig. He brought, and these people, you know, they don't want to be brought together. The only way to bring these guys together is with a fire hose spewing crazy glue.
Yeah, and he has the unfortunate tactic, or not a tactic. It's just him. I said of actually saying the truth of a situation. Like when they asked him what his strategy was, he said, "Well, we haven't gotten around to a strategy yet." Which the president is not supposed to say. Say, we have this well in hand and yada, 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 you know, we're proceeding force. He said, well, we don't have a strategy quite yet, but we're working on it. which is actually true.
What you want from the guy?
Really, when you think about it, but it's not presidential.
No, America.
It's hard to be president.
America wants a pacifist with swagger.
Yeah. Well, that's going to happen.
Yeah. I think what he's done is, admirable under adverse circumstances. I mean, you look at Mitch McConnell, who admitted in the first year of the Bush of Obama's administration that their only goal was to deny him any victory at all. So for 6 years, their negotiating stance has been, no, no sir, no way, not in a million years, let me think, no, I'll sleep on it, no. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, so what's he supposed to do?
Yeah, and it's been an effective...
Yes.
Stance, which is even more astounding, I guess.
And a lot of people like it because it means nothing gets done, and they believe in low government or, you know, small government. And see?
Yeah.
Well, I believe that for every law passed, you should take one away. I think there should be a finite number of laws.
If you got to pick them, that wouldn't be so.
Yeah.
Everybody but did you ever think that we'd be in a situation where guys who are opposed to the government would be elected to it? Because isn't that a contradiction? I mean, it's a conflict of interest. If you're opposed to any government anywhere doing anything, and then you run for office and are elected to it, then what should your stance be, really?
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's where we find ourselves.
Well,
it's not funny, but it's where we find ourselves.
It is funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, 2014, of course, the election, you know, the gubernatorial elections, in which you pick the best goober, and whether or not we can, the Democrats can hang on to the Senate or, you know, win Congress, the House, you know, this is going to be an important, you know.
Yeah.
And then Hillary, can she do it? My favorite part was, and you alluded to it earlier, about, you know, when she had to, because she called Obama's Syrian policy a disaster. Mm. Not underthought or, you know, half, but a disaster. She was Secretary of State. That's America's top diplomat. Mm. You would think she'd show more diplomacy.
Yeah, little tack there.
A disaster, and that. And then they met because she said she looked forward to hugging it out with them. Yeah, the same way you look forward to an emergency tracheotomy done with a Bic pen.
Yeah.
Yes, and then where did they meet this summer on vacation? And you talked about at a lawn party at a golf course on Martha's Vineyard, which is, I mean, each one taken individually, but then put together, that's like, you know, the 1% trifecta or something.
Yeah. Well, that's where things get done.
Yeah. And that must have been a great
on the
hug,
vineyard. You know? If you can get a tea time. I mean, that's the crucial thing.
Do you golf?
No. Pitch and putt years ago. That's about it.
I love pitch and putt.
Yeah. So I'm not presidential. And then there's a thing about, you know, Eisenhower, he golfed all the time. They didn't say anything about that.
Well, Bush.
Yeah.
Bush had... You know,
He had a weed whacker.
Remember, Reagan was always clearing Bush, and I forget Mark Russell or somebody
clearing brush,
said
wasn't it?
clearing brush. Did I say Bush?
It works either way, actually. Well, think about it.
Bush was his VP.
Yeah.
So, and I think Mark Russell said that must be the most brush-strewn ranch in the history of the world.
Yeah. You know? Switchgrass. That was that switchgrass he had down there. Remember? It was going to be a new fuel.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that never materialized either. But you know what? I like his painting.
Which one?
Have you seen his paintings?
The one
of him in the bathtub just shows his feet and his legs and his feet. And he shot one of himself in the shower.
Yes, I saw that one.
Yeah.
It's very Norman Rockwell-ish. You know,
yeah,
and I gotta say, man, you know, I didn't go to Madison. I went to UWM. I went to the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to come to Madison. And Madison is, you guys don't realize how beautiful and idyllic and bucolic and rust. Oh my God, this place, an isthmus. It's an isthmus, which is one of the most beautiful words in the English language. Isthmus.
It's hard to say, though.
No, but syphilis is another beautiful word,
yeah,
unfortunately. But
we live on a syphilis. The most beautiful syphilis.
It's just a cool thing. And Norman Rockwell will come to Madison, take one look around, and go, no.
Not for him.
He wouldn't buy it.
Yeah. Well, we got. I want to thank you for stopping by. Well, I know you got to go out there. What are you going to do on the fairgrounds out there? What's your approach going to be?
Mock and scoff and taunt.
Okay, so it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But with taste, you know, give them my best.
You got a book out or something now we can latch on to?
My little one man show, Boomer Raging. Look for it or book it and bring it to
on
a
DVD?
Theater near you. No, not yet. It's still growing.
You should be on DVD, man.
Still growing.
Will Durst, ladies and gentlemen.
You,
thank you, Will. Thanks for being here. Will Durst, ladies and gentlemen. Catch him out in Baraboo or somewhere in a town near you. Thank you very much. Will Durst.